Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host my show, Life Laughter Happiness. Today, my guest is Amara. Is Amara the correct pronunciation?
Amara. I-M-A-R-A.
Amara. Okay. Now, you are... let me ask you this. You do something called Reiki. Is that what that is called? Or?
Yes, I'm a traditional Usui Reiki master since 1996, and it is a form of alternative healing, hands-on or hands-off, where the practitioner channels universal life force energy to the benefit of the recipient.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. How long does it take to become a Reiki master?
That's a controversial subject. There's a lot out there now, and it's controversial because, you know, Americans like fast food, fast cars, and shortcuts to everything. So there's a lot of what I call microwave Reiki out there, where people purport to become masters of a technique in, you know, a weekend. Traditionally, it would take years, and you had to fly to Hawaii, or some faraway place from you and spend years in between the levels. It's shortened to keep up with modern sensibilities now, but the way I do it, I at least require Q1 training to take place over a full weekend. We do a full weekend of training, and then we do a follow-up about a month later, including a review of their experience and refinement of what they've learned in terms of having practice with case studies in between. And then I require them to wait at least 3 to 6 months and have a certain number of case studies completed before they move on to the next level, Reiki 2, second degree, which is the level at which you can become certified as a practitioner. And again, that's another weekend of training. However, before I will certify you, you then need to go through your internship, whereby you do a minimum of case studies of actual full-body sessions on people, and then you pass a test before I give you your certificate and you hang a shingle on the wall. I think it's
right.
There's a lot more integrity with making sure people know what they're doing before they start charging. And even if they're not charging, even if they're doing it for their personal use, you know, when you start sticking your hands in somebody else's aura, you know, you want to make sure they're doing it properly, with integrity,
well, you know,
without ego.
It's funny because I think the equivalent of it is that they have, you know, sort of like diploma mills or is what they're called.
Yeah,
like
yes.
Get a big deal. Well, you know, you didn't get it from the credit university. I think we have a caller. Would you like to take a caller?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. Caller, you're on the air. Oh, okay. You don't have a question?
Oh, I do have a question. my question is, I think I missed the first minute or two. Are you able to do it long distance, your Reiki training? Or
absolutely. There's three levels of traditional Usui Reiki. Reiki 1 is strictly learning the hands-on, hands-off, in-person technique. At the Reiki 2 practitioner level or the second degree, you learn to do long distance. And then certainly at the third level, which is the master, or some people call it master teacher, the master's level, then obviously it's an expansion of your knowledge. But one of the beauties of Reiki is the simplicity of it, whether you're in person or the fact that you can do a specific targeted healing for someone or something long distance. I actually founded a volunteer Reiki circle that we have had amazing, amazing stories of helping children born with congenital birth defects or receiving terminal diagnoses, and it expanded to adults, that my students and only my students that I have trained around the world send long-distance Reiki to these people. And it's just amazing, the effect. Now it's one of the most fun parts about Reiki is to be able to work long distance. Have you ever had any experience with it?
I had a few Reiki practitioner friends, and I'm very much interested in doing, you know, learning it and doing it. Sometimes I have an issue with, you know, when people say that they're healers, that some charge exorbitant amounts, some don't charge anything. So what's your feeling about the level of how much a person pays you?
Where are you? What's your name, by the way?
My name is Grace.
Hi, Grace. Where do you
live? Me and Grace have been in friends for a long time. We've been friends for a while.
Wonderful. Where do you live, Grace?
Right now I'm in Georgia.
Okay. Actually, I did a training in Georgia in 2011 in the Atlanta area up in Alpharetta. As we were talking at the beginning, there's a lot of what I call microwave Reiki stuff up there. And, you know, it goes without saying that in any profession or in any practice, you're going to find a wide range of quality. Number one, trust your gut. Number two, find out about the training of the person. The first question to ask them is, what's their lineage? If they say, what lineage? What are you talking about? Move on. That means they're not a traditionally trained Usui Reiki practitioner or master. Ask them how many hours they spent getting their masters. My master apprentices spend, on average, 1,500 hours becoming a master with me and doing a case study and a Reiki project and over several years. None of this, I became a master in a weekend. Well, you know, it's like martial arts. You don't become a black belt in a weekend either. You don't become a brain surgeon in a weekend. And I wouldn't trust anybody with a knife who said they did.
I think what I was going to say is that, my karate teacher told me this. He said that Americans need a reward. You know, so it's like, oh, we did good. Oh, okay, we'll give you this. And then, you know, they give a label for what we did. When in fact, you know, it's not even,
you're
really
absolutely
about
right. In traditional Asian martial arts, there's no colored belt. It's white or black, you know, and black comes from the fact that your belt is so old and it's dirty, you know, and that's where the whole black belt thing comes from. In America, you have to keep feeding them like Pavlov's dogs with a little goal along the way. But the point is, you know, to your question about price, it's all over the board. That's why I asked where you lived, because depending on the market you're in, you know, it'll range, a typical session will range from $65 to $150 for a Reiki session. And that should be from somebody who's truly certified, who has practiced before they start charging. There are people that are, you know, trying to practice and trying to learn, and I think that's a great time to give freebies to your friends or people you know and people you that are in need, because what you're gaining from it is the experience. You know, they're your guinea pig, and you're getting experience, and everybody benefits. And like I said, I have this volunteer Reiki circle that we work only on terminally ill people. And it's not a hangnail type of deal. And that's all volunteer. It's all pro bono. But what you have to think of when you're getting an energy exchange with people is you don't want an open link for the person giving you energy. You want to close the loop. So whether you pay them in cash or a pot of chicken soup or you offer to come vacuum their house or clean their bathrooms or wash their car, there needs to be reciprocity. The person receiving the healing needs to participate in the healing. They need to own it. They need to take responsibility for it. You find so many people that think they just go around and they should just be given healing and somebody else will fix them, but they never make any changes in their own life. And you then become a codependent or an enabler by helping people like that. So when people participate in their own healing or they close the loop of the exchange by giving something back, you know, that's pretty beneficial for both of them.
What do you think about that? I think it's more valuable to the person. Let's say somebody gives you something for free. You don't really, like, you know, sometimes I'll do the astrological charts or whatever, and if there's not some type of an exchange, then the person says, oh, you know, it really wasn't worth that much, you know. Because
right. They don't value it.
They didn't have anything, you know, to gauge it by, that, because I think there does have to be some type of an exchange.
And as Jonathan said, one of his teachers told him that Americans need, you know, a goal, or they need a gift at the end of their a prize. It's the same thing. If there isn't a dollar value attached to it, Americans tend not to value it. They were very, you know, in the old days, the ancient days, you know, you'd have your medicine man or woman in the teepee, and someone would leave, you know, a rump of elk meat at the door, and someone else would leave some herbs, and someone else might build their teepee for them in exchange for the medicine person always doing the healing for the tribe. You know, in the days of the old temple, the priestesses would live at the temple, and the townspeople would leave food and fruits and things at the entrance to the temple, and in exchange for the on-call services of the priestesses. We live in a modern society where if your healer, your healer is not living in that society. So if you don't reward or pay or compensate your healer for their time and effort with you instead of working in a corporate job someplace, their mortgage isn't going to be paid. Their heating bill isn't going to be paid. Their insurance, car insurance, isn't going to be paid. So we no longer live in a society, an ancient society, where those kinds of services were seemingly provided for free, but the community supported the practitioner. So we're kind of divorced with the go-between of paper money now, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, and bartering works also.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. Like I said, whether you trade a pot of chicken soup or you offer to vacuum somebody's house, you know, for them in exchange for something else.
Let me ask you this. You are also a, I mean, the only reason I want to do this segue is because I think Grace has something else, but you are also a business psychic. Is that true?
Yes. I'm a clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, and I've been a professional since 1980s, and I am known for my business work because I do so much work for corporations, entrepreneurs, doctors, lawyers. I have an MBA from Northwestern University and undergraduate degree in economics, so I'm a little different than most people in the new age or the holistic practicing field in that I have blue chip credentials from kind of a straight mainstream background, and I used to run major divisions of well-known blue-chip company. So
my
intuition tapped into my left brain training, and you get the both best of both worlds, I like to think.
Now, if I'm not wrong, Grace, did you have a question for Amira?
Well,
not to
put
you on
the spot.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I asked Grace to call in today specifically because you were a business psychic, and you know, it's I'm not trying to embarrass Grace, but you know, it's just I like the people find it interesting. So
I think Reiki is a wonderful healing modality, and I would like to learn it, and I'll be getting in touch with you about it.
Okay. You know, Grace, and if you can't come to Colorado, which is where I am, and anybody interested in staying in touch is welcome to call me at 303-575-1100 or contact me via my website, thewisdomlight.com or coloradoreikimaster.com. I'm happy to come to where you are. As I said, I did teach in Georgia a few years ago, and the reason I taught there is I was invited to go. I had some people that wanted to take it, and they got some other people, and they got some other people, and they put together a class and said, okay, we have a group of people here. And so I flew in, and we had a phenomenal time. It was wonderful. And those people have since gone on. One's gone on to Florida and become her own master and practitioner and has her own practice. And the others are still in Georgia. But I've taught all over the country and in Europe. So if you are interested and you have some friends that are interested, give me a call. I'm happy to set something up.
Sure. I did have one other question if you have time.
Sure, absolutely.
A friend of mine has terminal brain cancer, and someone was saying in their page that they were going to send Reiki. And another person mentioned that you shouldn't do Reiki on a person that has that kind of problem. That there would be too much fluid or whatever. Is that true?
Yeah. No. Okay, first of all, if you're properly trained in Reiki, you're not diagnosing anything and you're not projecting any specific outcome, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can never give too much Reiki and you can never give harm with Reiki. unless you're evil and you're projecting, let this person be killed or something, or let this person get ill, and then it'll come back on you tenfold. But I've heard the same misguided stuff with some people. There's a particular sect of Reiki teachers in Arizona that keeps spreading this false, and it actually originated in Michigan. And they tell people also, oh, you know, when you go to sleep at night, you have to undo the Reiki so you don't go to sleep giving yourself too much Reiki. And I just fall out of my chair. I go, are you kidding me? That's the best time to do the Reiki. Fall asleep doing Reiki on yourself, and you'll have, as attested to by many of my students and people I know, the best night's sleep ever. You're allowing your hands to do the work. I've also heard that same group say, oh, when someone's in labor, you can't give Reiki to a woman in labor. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's another phenomenal time to help the mother and the child. We have worked long distance on people that were considered in a vegetative state, and they're now talking. We have worked on people that have been told they'll never be able to move anything past a pinky after breaking their neck in a dive fall, and they're now walking. You can work on anything. Reiki goes where it needs to the level it needs to, and it does what it needs to, because it works on an energetic level to heal all aspects of yourself, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. So whatever needs to be healed, the practitioner is not deciding what to do. The practitioner isn't saying, reduce the level in the brain, increase the level in the brain, do this to the brain. Someone that's properly trained isn't talking about the brain. They're not talking about anything. They're not projecting an outcome. Does that make sense? All they're doing is saying the person's name. And oftentimes the benefit of Reiki is not even immediate to the person. It is in the diagnosis, in the solution of the problem. It's in helping the medical community after 4 months of not being able to figure out how to help a person or figure out what's really going on. You start doing Reiki, and within a week, suddenly they magically have an epiphany of what the real problem is, and the person starts getting the right kind of help. That's another way that Reiki can help. It's about bringing all elements into balance so that stasis can occur, so that balance can occur.
That's wonderful.
So I would not be afraid to send someone with any kind of diagnosis Reiki. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's not like giving the wrong kind of drug for the wrong disease like we would in allopathic medicine.
Right. It sounds logical to me. I just
wanted
to dispel that because somebody said, no, don't send Reiki to this person because it'll be increased swelling or whatever. And then I read other things. And
that's absolutely. Now, what you do have to have, though, and this is one of the reasons I love Reiki, is it is one of the rare modalities in healing where we have something called the aspect of permission. You cannot willy-nilly start going around and sending Reiki to anybody you think needs healing, anybody whose life you think needs fixing. That's your ego. If someone wants the Reiki and is willing to accept the Reiki, that's great, but they need to give you permission. So this person needs to give permission to the people sending the Reiki. You can't just decide as a stranger. I can't just decide as a stranger, no matter how much I might know that this could help them. If they choose not to accept that help, I don't have the right to say, well, I know better for you, and I'm going to send you Reiki anyway.
Right. Hmm.
I mean, I think that...
And that's
kind
of nice. So it's not one of these manipulative, intrusive things where people are going around and sending whatever to anybody that they think they have a right to intrude upon. If somebody wants to take the hard path, that's their prerogative. We have free will as human beings.
Right.
You know, I compare it to sort of a hug is really, really great if you both people want it, you know?
Exactly. And the second thing I teach to people is if you're in public and someone approaches you and starts telling you about your life, run, do not walk to the nearest exit sign. No one has the right to invade your privacy or violate you in that way. And people that do are misguided, and they're not working from the source. They're working from their own ego, that they can walk up to a stranger and tell them about their life. It's none of their dang business, and they need to put up boundaries, and they need to not intrude on someone's personal business. And I see it all the time, and they think it's a way to get new business. And it's highly unethical and a violation. And if you can't trust how they approach you and that they're not outside of their own ego to do that, how can you trust the information they're going to supposedly give you thereafter? So that's
okay.
A second
rule
for me.
Well, we're almost out of time, but is there anything you want to say before we wrap this up, the interview? Or?
Well, Jonathan, I want to thank you for having me. And Grace, it's nice to meet you. I hope you do have the opportunity to take some Reiki training at some point, whether it's for me or anybody else. I think you'll find it's a very fun and easy thing to do. I often find people going back to their Reiki training saying it catapulted me to another level of my development. I'd be happy to talk with you further. If anyone wants to contact me, whether it's for a consultation or for Reiki or for hypnosis, they're welcome to contact me at 303-575-1100, or my website is thewisdomlight.com, thewisdomlight.com. And again, I want to thank you very much for having me, Jonathan. It's been fun.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.